just proving we don't ever do anything here normally. We're changing things up today. We have got, of course, it is the Matt McNeil Show here on AM 950. Matt, Brett here. Stein, is Stein on the line here? We got Stein early today.
We do, as I fumbled his phone as I was trying to plug it in, so he might have heard some clunking a second ago.
Well, get ready for bigger clunking. Here it is. Hey, Jeff.
Matthew, hey, here's a lesson for the listeners.
Okay.
If you're driving at this time of day in a metropolitan area near a school, you have to ask yourself, why are you driving near a school at this time of day? I forgot they let out at 10 after 3 or whatever time it is now, so I've successfully navigated that, and I'm all ready to be dropped on my head like Brett just did.
Where are you? You're in Des Moines area, right?
I am now in downtown Des Moines, yes, sir. I'm actually in the parking lot of the NBC TV affiliate.
Oh.
And spent a day doing remote broadcasts from the Tom Harkin Wellness Symposium. The former U.S. Senator has an institute, and so we were talking about food insecurity and about health and nutrition and some interesting topics at the university in Des Moines today.
Can I ask you a really quick question since you brought this up? Because there seems to be a concern that if the ag markets cavitate and all of a sudden farmers are selling off their land, that the land will be purchased by foreign entities. Is that a concern right now in Iowa when you talk to ag people down there?
We have some laws in place that help regulate the ownership of farmland, so it is not a real issue. Can consortiums set up a shell company and pay some stooge like Matt McNeil to say he's the one really in charge of it and get around the law? Well, sure, obviously, that kind of stuff, I suppose. I have not heard anyone, I am true statement here, I've not heard anyone thinking they are going to have to sell because of what's going on right now. They have been used to low margins. They have been used to, in the last few years, having the government get in the way of their free markets. But nobody is talking about the kind of foreclosed upon wholesale selling of land that you're talking about. Is it going to be more difficult for a family to do this sort of thing, perhaps? You may wind up with some smaller operators selling to larger operators, but I really don't get the sense it's going to be what you've suggested, which would be a hideous situation, to be sure.
Well, I think Nebraska is where you should be concerned. I mean, the devastation from the flooding out there, on top of low margins and low returns on for the last few years, has definitely put some farms in case. And it's not the 80s where a lot of smaller farms were gobbled up in that crisis. But, this is not something that I've heard from one potential candidate. It's something I've heard from other people, that we should have laws, federal laws, that prevent the wholesale purchase of American farmland by foreign entities. And I've just kind of started asking myself, is this a real big problem?
There are two answers to it. And the one is, you're correct, this is not the same as the 80s. You're also correct that we hear a lot about Nebraska. They have gotten it much worse than anybody else, although there are some areas of southwest Iowa that are just as bad, but it's more extensive in Nebraska. But it is a widespread problem. You have to balance private individuals doing what they want with what they own. I mean, there's a fundamental freedom and liberty argument there. But when you consider that we're talking about farmland, where we actually can feed the world, And all of that, well, yeah, I mean, there may need to be some steps taken, declaring certain farmland to be a natural resource that is endangered. Frankly, I'm more concerned about urban sprawl with parking lots and that sort of thing. Shopping malls going up where good farmland used to be. That concerns me more, but it is something that bears looking into. Perhaps the White House hotline could ring over there in Moscow, and they can, get together on the topic. What do you think?
No problem. And by the way, just FYI for you, direct message you, when you need to go, we're just going to stay and go live here until you need to go, because I know you've got other meetings you've got to get to. So you let me know when you need to wrap it up, okay?
Probably about 20 after, and that'll be cool. I appreciate
all right.
it.
All right, and in your quacking there, who's frantically trying to?
You know, it is probably someone who says, "Hey, he's on with McNeil. I want to make sure I can interrupt the call." So yeah. I have no idea what it is, but let's just do what we can.
What I let me share with you. Do you know what I hate most about American culture today and American society today is. We have
United States society, you mean?
Yeah, U.S. society, United States society. If Obama had anyone apply for a security clearance that had a smudge on their application, and it was discovered that Obama pushed that through, whether or not that person deserved to get clearance, Republicans would have had multiple hearings on how compromised our nation's security is. You have 25 security clearances that should not have been handed out to people that the president himself overruled. And even if only 50% of those people are sharing state secrets, I have zero doubt Jared Kushner has been sharing stuff with the Saudis to get family money there. I have zero doubt about that. Even if you have that case, you still have 12 to 13 people who are sharing state secrets with people who should not be hearing them. And yet I have yet to hear one Republican even bat an eye and say, my God, this is not a good thing for us in America.
What if Hillary Clinton had been elected president and she decided that not only should Chelsea get an office in the West Wing, but Chelsea's husband, I forget his first name, Mark Mezvinsky, should get an office in the West Wing? What would the reaction have been to that?
Oh, they would have been apocalyptic. They would have gone crazy and insisted that they basically that how dare this kind of nepotism take place.
So we've answered the question with that right there. Okay.
Yes.
And the problem is, and I would suggest to you, there is no difference between the reality in Washington and the analogy I posed, with the possible exception of the fact that Chelsea at least grew up in the family business, which was government, as opposed to the family business, which was, well, heaven knows. We'll see what the investigations say is that family business. But, you know, Republicans going into 2020, they're just closing their eyes and trying to see in July of next year whether or not it's in their best interest to cut and run or not. You already saw a number who said they were going to not run in 18. You know, the Jeff Flakes, the world, et cetera, they're gone. How many Republicans are either going to bolt from supporting the president here in the early part of the 2020 cycle, or are going to say, you know what, I'm not running for re-election after all? Mm-hmm. There is a piece in Politico that spotlighted Iowa U.S. Senator Joni Ernst, who obviously her star was rising with her own party because she was a female U.S. senator, for crying out loud, from a red state. So that and she's all, you know, I've gotten along with her very fine, have no problem with her. I'm just simply saying the Republicans, you know, they trotted her out to give the rebuttal to the State of the Union, you know, right after she got into office. Well, she's up for election in 2020. And the article in Politico talks about following Joni Ernst, the U.S. senator, around to various town meetings where people are saying, what are you doing here with Trump? Why are you supporting him? And so she has to defend all the time she breaks with the president. That's not a good sign going into your first reelection campaign, because as we all know, A, it's a presidential year, and B, you're never more susceptible of getting picked off from an election standpoint than the first time you're running for re-election. So this is a big seat for the Republicans. The Democrats obviously have their eyes on it. And so you have a sitting U.S. senator who, you know, in a very real sense, has to account for the president of her party with her own constituents who got her elected in what was a bit of a surprise in 2014, I'm sorry.
Well, and then you look at this healthcare thing and talk about, you know, we since 2010, Republicans have been promising a replacement plan, and they keep replacing it. And Trump was able to get away with it because he was a new voice saying, you're going to get better health care, it's going to be cheaper. And the reality is that where they're at right now, it's clear that they don't have a plan. Trump has gone on this suicide run with this judicial ploy to try to get Obamacare thrown out, to which I imagine there's a lot of Republicans. We've already had, two Republican attorney generals file briefs against Trump on this, because, my God, if he gets rid of it and there is no replacement plan in place, the Republicans would be, I think 2018 would be a light year compared to what will happen to them in 2020.
Well, the lesson of 2016 was they ran on repeal and replace, and they had no plan to replace.
Yes.
And you and I talked about this in 2016. We talked about it thereafter. And so for the president to say we're going to be the party of health care, okay, first, you don't have a majority in the House, so nothing's going to happen. Second, you have no plan. Okay, so it was interesting. He met with senators on Capitol Hill last week, I think on Tuesday, and moments after they got finished, I interviewed Senator Grassley from Iowa and asked about it. And, you know, he sidestepped that like a pile of manure in a pasture, because clearly it's just lip service. Now, what Grassley did mention is something that Nancy Pelosi and the president and their staffs have been working on. That's prescription drug reform. Well, that's a whole different thing than what the president said. So the mere fact that Mitch McConnell calls the president, this is apparently what happened. McConnell calls the president and says, drop that health care thing. It may be an election issue because we can't do anything. We don't have any idea what to do. And then you get Trump saying, well, it was always going to be an election issue and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's seat of your pants governing, and then aides and staff members have to cover it afterwards.
Well, and it's just okay. I've made the argument that if the Republicans really actually wanted to win elections for a few cycles here, give up on health care. Import Mitt Romney's Massachusetts plan, make it a nationwide plan. Basically, you expand Medicaid, Medicare, and make it open for everyone there. And you walk away from this issue as a loss. But at that time, you would become the party of health care. And you would have been the party that expanded health care and Medicaid, Medicare. If they just did this, they would actually, they'd win probably again in 2020. They'd be looking at probably picking up in 2022 and 2024. But instead, because they are so determined to stop this, because it's, in my mind, it's the Obamacare thing, they're so determined to stop this that they basically just, they can't get out of their own way at this point.
Well, here's everything. Here's the true misreading. I have heard the president, I've heard Republicans say that the 2016 election was about, or 2018 election was about health care, right?
Yes.
They were talking because that was the number one issue, health care. And so they're now saying, okay, it's now our number one issue. The problem was they're on the wrong side of it. The reason they lost because of health care in 2018 was because of the tact that they took, and it is the opposite. So they're understanding the poll that says health care is the number one issue, but they're not figuring out why health care was the number one issue.
And they don't seem to have, and there is, and once again, it's if you go on out and you make a promise of you're going to have cheaper health care that's better, the only way you could do that from the Affordable Care Act was to expand Medicaid, Medicare. It was a bad ploy because eventually you were going to get called on it, and Trump now saying we're going to kick this to the curb till 2020, well, it's actually 2021, that, you know, right. Do you buy that argument? Did you hear the story? I mean, Pence apparently was very angry with him about bringing this up again and was almost insistent about do not do this because this will hurt us in the election.
I absolutely believe it. And McConnell did the same thing where they were saying, you know, that's nice, but you only heard half the story, Mr. President, with all due respect. And he at least gave up on it right away, acting like it was all his idea to bring it up and drop it. And he was consistent. You know, I mean, so it's the kind of thing where, as I say, you have asked me before, when is it that Trump supporters will bail on him? They will bail on him when there's the opportunity and a better choice. The only reason they voted for him to begin with. In their mind, he was the better choice. So what's going to happen come 2020? Well, you may see a lot of people, elected officials, bailing on it But again, it's not to that point yet, and it won't happen until this time next calendar year.
All right, you got to get going. Hey, tell whoever is calling you I said hi, okay?
It was actually
me. I turned my phone on just before we did the interview, and it's just catching up with all sorts of alerts from hours ago. So to all of the good AM950 audience, I apologize sincerely for the fact that the phone has been quacking like a whole bunch of ducks on the Cedar River in Waverly, Iowa. And I can vouch that's loud.
Beautiful. You have a good time. Drive safe, my friend. All my best. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books at Common Good Books and also totallyiowa.com. Iowa Watches, the public service show. And he joins us at KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, usually. Jeff, drive safe. We'll talk to you next week, my friend. All right. There he is. He's off. We'll let him get going. We'll take a break. Come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM950. Tangled in one bunk because we can't sleep.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, I'm often asked what kind of furniture Habitation offers. Now, I can go two ways with this. I can say something like, Habitation specializes in warm, modern, raw, industrial, and organic contemporary home furnishings. But what does that mean? It means that we have some really cool stuff, and that is the answer that usually goes over better. But cool doesn't mean crazy. And I'm proud to say that everything we offer at Habitation is functional and comfortable. The type of furniture that will allow you to express yourself, but still works every day. So there it is. Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park. It's the Twin Cities' best furniture and design showroom.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. March is Auto Show Month at Rudy Luther. This means throughout the month, they'll have great auto show deals on all new Toyotas. My first Toyota love was the RAV4, and it's completely redesigned for 2019, and the new RAV4 Hybrid will be here soon. Remember, buy a new Toyota and get a $250 gift card, trade in a vehicle on a new Toyota and get another $250 gift card. That means a total of $500 in savings. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley, and online at rudyluthertoyota.com.
Hi, this is Matt, owner of Green Home Doctors. Approximately 80% of the homes in Minnesota are not sealed and insulated properly. A typical home has air leakage equal to a large open window. You shouldn't need a space heater and extra blankets to feel comfortable. If you do, that's a sign that your home is not properly insulated. Take advantage of the rebates and great incentives from CenterPoint and Xcel Energy before it's too late. To learn more about the savings, visit greenhomedr.com.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all-energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I appreciate Jeff joining us. He's very malleable. I mean, he's got doing interviews like crazy. And every time he goes down to Des Moines, he always tries to get as many politicians as possible. So usually we don't get him. But he making time today to talk about those two things, the security clearances primarily, and then, of course, this debacle. If the courts overrule and shut down Obamacare, that will be – because the problem that the Republicans have painted themselves in the corner is the first thing the Democrats in the House are going to do is they're going to pass a new version of the Affordable Care Act minus the Senator Rubio death pill that was in there. And that's the bill that they're going to send up to the Senate. And they're going to say, it's this bill. And they're going to be the party. If they were really smart, what they'd do is they say, okay, we're going to do a Medicaid expansion. You know, you'll be able to buy in. Everyone, Medicaid, Medicare for all. And they will have to, because they are so insistent that this policy, that healthcare is not something they want the government involved in. They will kill it and basically get rid of any affordable option for most people. And it's a nightmare. So, speaking of healthcare, Brett, you know I turned 50 this last year, right?
You did indeed.
I've got an announcement to make. I've scheduled up my colonoscopy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not an uh-oh.
It's not fun.
I'm not exactly, you know, come on, kids, let's go. I'm not doing that. It's not, you know, I mean, it's not a video I want to watch. It's it's not something we'll make some copies for the family for the holidays. But I will say that it is incredibly important for everyone when you turn 50 to go get a colonoscopy. It really is. We live in a world where most of the health problems that people have are due to their own, not either stuff like these anti-vaxxers where they basically go on out there and make life miserable for themselves and everyone else by basically ignoring science, or it's basically routine maintenance that you should get done because your body ages. And you know what? Am I incredibly proud I'm doing this? No. But the reason why I'm going to say this is coming up here, it's May 20th, I'm getting this thing done. The reason I'm saying this is because I want everyone to know out there is the stigma, this all this stuff, put it aside. This is, colon cancer kills so many people. And my God, how many people have every one of us known has lost to cancer? This is a simple screening anyone can do, and by doing this screening, you don't get caught off guard by this stuff, all right? And if there's treatment needed, you can get it done. So, there you go, Brett. I'll need you to drive me. No, not really.
Pass.
You'll need to get some magazines. I'm going to be there for a while. She says to me, when I set this appointment up, she says, do you want the regular anesthetic or do you want the heavy-duty anesthetic? So what's the difference? Well, the regular one, you'll just be happy, doopy, loopy. Okay. Is that the medical term? The other one, you'll be knocked out for it. I said, I'll probably be okay with the first one. I don't, you know, because let's face it.
You're doing the one where you're happy or you're knocked out?
I'm going to do the one when I'm happy because let's face it, the joke potential is there. Off we go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see how many I can get in here, Doc. I'm sure my colonoscopist will be so happy with that.
Colonoscopist? Is that a real term?
I don't know what exactly the term is. the butt guy. that guy. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be eager for that one to be over.
Now I'm thinking of the Seinfeld episode with the license plate, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, no. Or Arrested Development. No. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. No. Just,
that one
no,
we can't
no,
say. No.
No. No, we're moving on. A quick tongue lashing of the Minnesota Wild, if I can. Last night, the Minnesota Wild were eliminated. Last night, if you didn't catch it, Minnesota Wild had a great hockey game. They went out and played Winnipeg, who is battling with Nashville for the number one seed in the Central Division. So this was not a throwaway game for the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets were trying to win that game, and we absolutely dismantled them because for one of the few freaking times this year, the Minnesota Wild actually showed up and played a game to their potential. That team, Minnesota, does not deserve a crap team like the Minnesota Wild, and the Minnesota Wild sure as hell does not deserve a market that appreciates and loves hockey as much as Minnesota does. They do not deserve it here. And there is fault that I can heap on many people. I can go after the ownership that just loves the fact that they sell out because it's Minnesota and they don't really demand that the product is good. I can go for the players who treat this team like it's a retirement village. They get a big contract, and then they basically take nights off. There's at least 15 games this season where they were playing horrifically bad teams. We should have won, and we didn't even show up. And it wasn't like the second night of a back-to-back. They just didn't show up over and over and over again. And when they did show up, it was like last night. But this team is just, they mail it in. There is no heart on that team. There is zero heart on the Minnesota Wild. In the front office and on the team. And I also want to condemn the fans. Because you know what? These guys that have sold this place out, it's great that you're a hockey fan, but you guys don't treat it like it should be treated. If this team was in any other market, Chicago, Detroit, New York, Toronto, they would be getting ripped apart by the fans. Ripped apart for their lackluster effort and their lackluster product. And you guys, because you treat it like it's some sort of floating party barge out there, you guys don't actually get mad at the team. Do you know why teams in like Carolina and Tampa and Dallas actually have decent runs? Is because there, where hockey is not a primary sport, if they don't put a good product on the ice, people do not show up. And the Wild take advantage of fans who basically do not demand a better product. They're just there for their selfies. They're there for their resale value. They're there just to be there. So it's everyone. Everyone involved with this team. It's a mess. And the thing which was so upsetting was that team last night that went up and beat the living daylights out of the Winnipeg Jets, that was the same team that was there. It's just that team wanted to win that game because it was an elimination game. They wanted to win that game. We are cursed with the fact that we love hockey, and that team takes advantage of us, and the fans do not hold that team accountable. And it's why hockey in this state sucks. It does. We should not just have a participation ribbon. For God's sakes, it's Minnesota. Our name should be on that damn cup a few times. But until the fans demand a better product, until the players go out there and put out the effort, until the front office tries to put a winner together, we are going to just sit here and suck. There you go. I'm done with that. We're not a sports station, but my God, am I tired of that team. Just happy to be here, aren't you guys? 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. I got to get into transportation when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Fire up, Minnesota. Warner Stallions Grill Expo is this weekend. See the world's best gas, charcoal, and pellet grills in action. Buy at Warner Stallions' guaranteed lowest price, and you still get trusted free professional assembly, free delivery, free haul away, 18 months no-interest financing, and three free products from No Name Meats and Seafood. Test drive your next grill and get a smoking hot deal this Saturday and Sunday only at all 10 Warner Stallion stores.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. Let me tell you about the best parts of buying a vehicle with Rudy Luther. First, their staff is wonderful, friendly, and always ready to help. Another is the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores, as well as discounted car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, try Hazel's Northeast. Great lunch, great dinner options out there as well. It's up on 29th and Johnson. So if you're in downtown Minneapolis, that's just a hop, skip, just up on the north side. Go on up there, get a great lunch if you're in the office. It's a great way to get out, and it's a gorgeous part of town, actually. I really like it up there. And also, of course, great dinner, too. And they've got a really great menu. Go to their website, find out more. EatLocalMinnesota.com, Restaurant of the Week, Hazel's Northeast, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A proposed gas tax appears to lack the fuel it needs to travel through. Aha! Aha! Love the puns. Lacks the fuel it needs to travel through the legislature. A GOP-led committee on Tuesday voted to sink a pared-back version of Governor Tim Walz's proposal to hike the tax on gasoline by 20 cents per gallon and increase other fees to fund road and bridge repairs. On the same day, House Democrats re-upped their support of the tax increase and offered their pitch to boost the transportation funding, complete with additional boosts in taxes and fees. With 6 weeks left in the legislative session, the plan's prospects seem bumpy at best in the divided legislature. Despite that, Democrats said they're confident they can win over the GOP peers by emphasizing projects in their district that could be off the table without the funding and pointing out national reports that give Minnesota a D-plus grade on bridges and roads, a D-plus grade, bridges a C. Minnesota is not a D or C state, said Melissa Hortman, the Speaker of the House. Minnesotans had enough of our crumbling infrastructure. It's time to take action. Okay. You have to understand transportation. Now, this is an issue that's been near and dear to my heart for many reasons. And I have in the past broken this down for you, but I'm going to redo this again because you have to understand how the hell we've gotten here. Because I want to stop and ask you a quick question here. How many of you are like me and know an exit ramp onto a highway, which is more patches than road? How many of you know a stretch of road, major road, which is more patches than road? How many of you have seen roads which have needed upgrades for 20 years even get a second look at them? We have a horrific problem with transportation, and it's the Republicans' fault. It really is. It's 100% the Republicans' fault. I will explain. The modern Republican came out of the Newt Gingrich era. And in the 90s, there was a new mentality. The Republicans back then stopped trying to become politicians to serve their community. They became politicians as a way to pump up their resume. And they realized if they pandered to wealthy people by giving wealthy people as much of the tax dollars as they could, that not only would that get them campaign cash for reelection campaigns, but it would also get them a sweet lobbying gig when they were done with their political campaign. Not only a lobbying gig for themselves, but a lobbying gig for their kid. Their wife can get a lobbying gig. They'll be on some kind of board. They'll actually use their political office to get themselves a 5-, 6-, 7-figure career after they're done in the office. That was a fundamental change in the Republicans. It was basically, how do you make more? How can I reward myself through this office? And the fastest, clearest path was to start giving as much taxpayer dollars to the wealthy and to the largest corporations. And it's worked. It's worked tremendously for them. They started shoveling money into even when they give a tax break that does have some tax benefits for a middle and lower class, still 70-80% of the tax break goes to the wealthiest, 0.1% of any state or country, and it goes to the largest corporations. That's what they do. And they have been shoveling this money in, and they've gone through every department in government, and whether that's a state or federal, to purge as much money out of him as possible. You look at schools and education. In the South, my God, did they take tons of money out of the schools. And they basically just gave that to wealthy people. And it is you can track that money. It is really that simple. Is that money was going to be spent for schools. It didn't get spent for schools. It then in turn was given to the wealthiest of wealthy in a massive tax cut. That they had money for health care and for helping kids with child care and stuff like that. And they cut those programs. And that money ended up in tax rebates to the largest corporations. It's direct. And many of these politicians then would be lobbying for that company that they basically had to go on out and purge that budget on behalf of that wealthy person or that large corporation. This is the Republicans. This is their modus operandi. This is how they've been doing it. And they've been doing it this way since the 1990s. Transportation was a huge, huge part of their plan. They started with a very simple argument that they would argue that road expansion should be the only transportation projects that are funded, and that anything that had to deal with mass transportation should not be funded. Now, funny story, they never intentionally wanted to fund the road construction anyway. There was never any intent on them funding road construction at the levels they themselves set themselves up for. That if you are not going to pay for mass transportation, that you need to have a massive expansion of roads. They had no intention of expanding out the roads and spending money on road construction. That was never it is. This was a red herring. It was basically to vilify mass transportation so that they could ransack transportation budgets. And it worked like a charm. I mean, in many states, they sold off their transportation system. They got rid of it. They basically had worse transportation. It's only in a handful of cities where they have fought back against that, where the cities and the municipalities run the transportation, not the state, that you've actually seen success. The fight here in Minnesota really came to a head with the Hiawatha Light Rail Line. And I don't know if that's the blue or green line. I just call it the Hiawatha Line, all right? The one that runs from downtown to the Mall of America, okay? Okay, that one, yes. That light rail line was, and if you've got, you should go see the video of the Republicans arguing against it. Because it is quite comical, them pounding on podiums about screaming about empty trains, empty trains, empty trains. They promised this. They promised it with the university line, too, that yeah, empty trains, no one's ever going to ride this train. The Hiawatha line, I actually talked to someone at MnDOT about this, and they had actually just gotten a recognition. The Hiawatha line at the time that it opened was the most successful mass transportation launch in this country's history. I have yet to be on that train when it's not packed to the freaking gills. And I'm not talking about for a Twins game or for a Vikings game. I am talking about just during the day, that train is packed to the gills. Same thing with the university line. I mean, we had, Joe Suchere actually suggested, he was so upset they'd actually built it that his argument was he saw the train at like 4 a.m, and because it wasn't full at 4 a.m, that it was a massive failure and that we should just abandon the lines and leave them there as a warning for future generations that you should never try mass transportation. I mean, that is the kind of mentality they have. They have come to, they have brainwashed these people into believing that mass transportation is this horrible thing. You can't have a functioning major metropolitan area without mass transportation. You just can't. But it didn't stop them. The Republicans in this state had massive egg on their face when the light rail lines actually worked and were successful. You would think to yourself, wow, we were just proven wrong. Maybe we should do more light rail lines. Nope, they didn't do that. Their response, now I want to remind everyone out there who's listening. light rail lines, buses. Anyone from the age of zero to the age of 100 can get on a light rail line or a bus. You pay the fee. You can go between point A and point B. Anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. Their response to the success of the light rail line was to open up the toll lanes, the carpool lanes, to a toll lane system that was a class-based toll lane. That if you, first of all, you had to be able to drive. Second of all, you had to have a car. And thirdly, you had to have $4 of disposable income to justify being able to zip past the commoners that were stuck in traffic to go into the downtown. It is a class-tiered transportation system. And at no point has that any of those class-tiered roadways made money. They have been horrible at it. We are subsidizing transportation for the rich, for God's sakes. And that the thing which is funny is that wasn't even really an expansion of roadways. That was just basically opening up carpool lanes. But that's what Republicans think is common sense thing, that the wealthy people can zip on past the commoners. And trust me, I was a traffic reporter for 6 years. I sat and stared at those cameras. The people that were using that toll lane, Beamers and Lexuses and Teslas, those are who are using it. Susie Coffee Barista is not using that toll lane. And that is a class-tiered roadway system, which you need to have a car to use. So there's already a ton of people that's a pointless system for anyway. The roads in the metro area are grossly underdeveloped. I understand the Republicans patted themselves on the back and were so happy with themselves when they basically got the 494-694 loop to a three-lane road in both directions all the way around the metro. 494-694 should be four lanes at the least. Like over in Lake Elmo area, maybe up in the probably not many other places outside of Lake Elmo. It should be five. I would make an argument it should be six lanes in both directions on the south side from the airport heading on over to 212. 35W, I know you're working on it right now. That should be expanded. You're going to have to dig out the Lowry Hill Tunnel at some point. You're going to have to expand that sucker at some point. 94 in the Midway, you're going to need to expand that. 36, 61, Highway 100, 101. All these roads need to be upgraded. And we're not talking about putting out some more patchwork, just getting them to a point where they actually can function, even though it's like going down a freaking cobblestone road. The roads need to be fixed. We are grossly behind on that issue alone. On that issue alone. We need massive expansion, and that's not even talking about the numerous county roads I have been on. My God, how much driving did I do in 2018 in outstate Minnesota? How much driving did I do in outstate Minnesota? How many of those county roads, all they were freaking patches? Like I was going down a dirt road. In every corner of the state, because the Republicans never had any intent on fixing the roads. They were just putting out red herrings, dog whistles, and trying to get you their voters to think that they were going to do something. And sure, they've put a little project in the wealthy community that they represent. They got a few new roads. Or this one interchange got done. But the reality is, it's putting a Band-Aid on an amputation at this point. We desperately need to upgrade the roads. The gas tax is a good way to do it. And yes, that's a pricey upgrade. It is. 20 cents, that is. But the roads in this state desperately need it. And just I want to, before I take the break here, and then I'll run calls when I come back. I want to remind everyone, if you just want to know how broken the Republicans are, the 35W bridge collapsed into the Mississippi River. The reason why that collapsed was not because of Republicans, but because of a conservative mentality that we could not inspect it, we could not do the things that we should have done, and kept that bridge maintained as we should have. There was design flaws, but it was not being inspected because the inspections cost too much money, so we started pulling them back. A conservative mindset aided in that bridge collapsing. And when that bridge did collapse, when the Republicans were asked, what are they going to do to replace it? They went on the cheap, just tried to get the bare minimum of a bridge built because they had no intention of actually fixing the problem. They are broken to the core when it comes, because once again, the Republicans do not care about you. They just want to take your tax dollars and give them to the wealthy and the biggest corporations so that they can get their lobbying jobs when they're done with their political term. And because you have put your faith in those people, that's why none of this is getting done, and that's why we need a 20 cent a gallon increase on our gas tax to fix this problem. Randy, Kim, Mike, hold on. Your calls after the break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, this is Matt, owner of Green Home Doctors. Approximately 80% of the homes in Minnesota are not sealed and insulated properly. A typical home has air leakage equal to a large open window. You shouldn't need a space heater and extra blankets to feel comfortable. If you do, that's a sign that your home is not properly insulated. Take advantage of the rebates and great incentives from CenterPoint and Xcel Energy before it's too late. To learn more about the savings, visit greenhomedr.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio. News flash about my show. It's now an hour long, running from 7 to 8 a.m. every Monday. The longer time slot will allow for interviews of idealists doing important work in the world. Ellie 2.0 Radio. Listen every Monday from 7 to 8 a.m. My show. It's engaging and real, and it's on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
It's Greek to Me has big news. They are now open for lunch, Tuesday through Sunday from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's right, you asked and they listened. Enjoy lunch amongst their new marketplace. If you can't join them in-house, make sure to check out their delivery services and remember them for your home or office takeout and catering. Visit It's Greek to Me on the corner of Lake and Lindale in Minneapolis at 626 West Lake Street in Minneapolis or at www.itsgreektomemn.com.
And you know what, conservative, you brought up something during the break, Brett, that what conservative transportation policy is so broken. Concrete is far more cost effective in the long run than asphalt. It absolutely is. And there are roads that I drove on in high school, concrete roads that are still there, that are stretches are still there. Asphalt roads last about 3 years. But because it's cheaper to do the paving initially in asphalt than to do a concrete road, conservatives come out and it's like, we're saving money. In the long run, asphalt roads cost you a tremendous amount more than concrete roads. And it's because, and you see, it's that mentality. That money went to wealthy people. And they have no intention. They have no intention of doing it right. And this is why I'm glad Tim Walz is the governor, because he actually does have pretty good transportation ideas. Quickly, I did want to mention, thank you, Todd Colid. Todd is sponsoring AM 950 this week. You can sponsor the radio station as well, 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. The band is Just Folk. They've got a new album they're hopefully going to have out here in May. Don't Turn the Lights Out is a song. It's actually dedicated to Michael Carvel, who is their bass player. He played with various bands here in the Twin Cities. He did the bass there when he was recording his thing, not I think when he was recording, but in the process of recording. He had a serious cardiac arrest, had no pulse for 30 minutes. He has come back. Good for him. Don't Turn the Lights Out is a song they're dedicating to him, and congratulations on the recovery. All my best to you, Michael. All my best to you, Todd. Thank you very much for sponsoring the station. Randy is in St. Cloud. Let's run the calls as quickly as we can. Welcome on in, Randy.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to bring up, I remember about 15 years ago or so, I think it was a Frontline, they talked to some people in Europe about their transportation, and they, when you bid on a road in Europe, and this was mostly France and Germany, you get that road for 10 years or 15 years, whatever the bid was, and that's the bid, you got it, you put the road in, if something goes wrong with the road, you go and fix it on your dime.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why we don't do that, because that's part of that asphalt thing.
Yeah, no, it is.
They get to come back.
In Germany, those roads were there, and thank you, Randy. I appreciate the phone call. Those roads in Germany were very well, much more well maintained than they are here. But you know, and here's the problem: Republicans are starting to look at toll roads, because that will basically that's a way for them. And trust me, you want to get upset about a 20 cent per gallon gas tax? How about $1.50 each direction each day you have to drive into a city with a toll road? And I guarantee you that toll road will be held by a privately held company, probably a Republican buddy who's going to skim 40% off the top. No, this is how you fix the roads. It costs money. You have to do it right. Kim is in Ramsey. Welcome on in, Kim.
Yeah, hi. You know, you probably touched on this already, but, you know, it's a class divide, this issue of transit. The assumption over here is that if people who ride transit are the poor. That's the assumption that's made.
Mass transit, yeah.
In Germany, I spent some time over in Germany. Everybody rides mass transit.
Absolutely.
Every strata of society rides it. And so, obviously, then the Republicans don't care. But also, I mean, I think this town, this area could do a lot better, especially in terms of trains. I have a younger sister who lives in Europe, and she lives in a town of about 125,000, 130,000. They have commuter trains. Not just one line like, you know, the North Star, which, by the way, you can't go into the city in the evening because it ends at rush hour. So we could be doing so much more here,
Kim. And I have to cut you out because I want to get to Mike in Columbia Heights here. But no, you're right. We could be doing so much more. And the argument that mass transportation is for the poor. The reason why I think the Republicans fought the Southwest Light Rail line is because they're about to see that most people from all sectors of society will jump on light rail if it's available to them, and that's what they don't want proven. Mike is in Columbia Heights. Welcome on in, Mike.
Hi, Matt. Remember when they introduced they completed the Hiawatha line, and they introduced it, and Jesse was governor, and all the Republicans were there glad-handing everybody and smiling, and they were all real happy, like they had actually done something to advance that program. Then the HOV lane, they took that and they made that a toll lane. You know, these guys are really well, really smart. They had the North Star line that stops in some parking lot in Big Lake instead of going through Big Lake and up to St. Cloud and who knows into a major
well,
city.
And you see, that's the thing, and Mike, I got to cut you off there, but that's exactly it. They set the North Star line up to have a road to nowhere and then acted like, well, why aren't more people taking it? Well, if you ran it to St. Cloud, I guarantee you would have a lot more people taking it. Absolutely. Republicans are just horrible on transportation.